The reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36b through 48, and is on page 860 of your Pew Bible. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See it, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, who loves us with a transforming love, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and from the Spirit who unites us all. Amen. Writer, peace, priest, theologian, and philosopher John O'Donohue grew up in County Clare, Ireland, on the generational family farm. And while growing up in what is described as a wild landscape framed by the ethereal view of a limestone valley and the beckoning waters of Galway Bay, John developed a powerful connection with the elements around him. He would later describe the profound influence of his childhood home as a huge, wild invitation to extend your imagination. In his writing, he had an amazing ability to bring this connection to the elements, to creation, and his deep knowledge of self and of God that was gained through his studies, putting them together and bringing them to life. In his first book, Anam Cara, John writes about our human need to belong, not only from a sociological point of view, but a deeply spiritual one that encompasses both our physical and mental landscapes that we inhabit simultaneously. He describes the body in this way: "The human body is beautiful. It is such a privilege to be embodied. We have a relationship to a place through the body. In the deepest sense, the body is the most intimate of places. Your body is your clay home. Your body is the only home that you have in this universe. It is in and through your body that your soul becomes visible and real for you. Your body is the home of your soul on earth." Later, he'll deepen the understanding of the relationship between the body and the soul by saying the soul is not simply within the body, hidden somewhere within its recesses. The truth is rather the converse. Your body is in the soul, and the soul suffuses you completely. Therefore, all around you, there is a secret and beautiful soul light. I'm so intrigued by this idea of the body being our only home here in the universe, and that through the body, we know our soul, but also that our soul somehow houses our body, infuses it with the spirit, empowers it. And even more so, John's assertion that if we believe that the body is in the soul and the soul is divine ground, then the presence of the divine is completely here close with us. Being in the soul, the body makes the senses then the thresholds of the soul. That it's our senses that open the world to us. In that opening then, we encounter the divine through our senses. We encounter God, the creator, the God who is love. In a world where most people experience loneliness on a daily basis, so much so that it's become a health crisis, our bodies, our senses offer us a way to know that we are not alone. And not only because we can become aware of God's presence or the Spirit's presence, but I think because we can also become aware of the presence of others who surround us. I've lived in this body of mine for 52 years. We know each other fairly well, although sometimes not so much. And we've been through a lot. It is in this body that I've experienced the most beautiful, the most mundane, the most horrible moments of my life, carrying with it the marks of those moments. It's in this body that allows me to experience the world in all its incredible diversity. It's marched in more parades than I can count. It's done a tough mutter. It has sunk deliberately into yoga poses that help stretch it. It's amazing. And inexplicably, this last week decided that I shouldn't need to stand up straight as I got out of bed or stood up from my desk. I don't understand. It sees beauty, tastes deliciousness, hears laughter, touches fabrics, and smells the earth and all its creatures. It houses a soul that longs for love and loves fiercely, is thirsty for knowledge and sees beauty, feels joy. It is a body that changes and endures as time goes on. It is my clay home, the only home I have in the universe. And it is infused with the divine love that recognizes me as beloved and accompanies me in each encounter. To be embodied is a privilege, no matter the body. And we know this to be true because from the very beginning, Jesus was God embodied among us, experiencing the world in the ways that we experience the world, opening himself up to the world with his senses, fully embracing the body that will allow him to love even unto the cross. Because Jesus grows in the womb of his mother, enters the world through a birth canal, sleeps in a feeding trough, nurses at Mary's breast, goes through puberty, soaks in the water of baptism, hungers for bread in the wilderness, walked in the desert and felt the sand coat his feet with dust, watched a man being lowered from a roof, getting dirt in his eyes and on his head, ate with his friends, touched a withered hand, feels compassion and sorrow, writes in the sand with his finger, feeling the grittiness below it, smelled the demon-possessed left in the wilderness, felt power leave him when the woman touched his robe, held the hand of a young child as he brought her back to life, feels his voice weaken after teaching crowds of thousands, hears God calling him beloved, was frustrated and lamented, holds a child gently in his lap, hears the blind man cry out for mercy, sees Zacchaeus in the tree, weeps over the city, loses his temper at the temple, hearing the sounds of injustice and then of tables being turned over, rides a colt, feeling the movement of its gait underneath him, feels the wind from the palms as they wave, feels the pain of death. Jesus, embodied God, lives life fully, all senses engaged. It shouldn't surprise us then that he would know the disciples' reaction to his unexpected appearance among them. All they knew in that moment, in that room, was that he was dead. Even though there was an empty tomb and reports of angels and a message of resurrection from the women. Addressing all of those fears and confusion, Jesus appears among them and says, "Touch me and see." knowing that words of peace won't calm them. He invites them to touch him and know that he is real as he has always been. These terrified disciples, struggling and grieving, need to meet the resurrected and embodied Jesus with their whole self, with all of their senses, the thresholds of their souls longing for the Messiah. In these words and this appearance, Jesus reminds us of God embodied, incarnated as human, living and teaching and healing among us, reminding us of a love so deep and so wide that we cannot see the end of it. Here in this moment, at the end of Luke's gospel, we are taken right back to the beginning, to the words of the angel to Mary, to the conversations between Elizabeth and Mary, the angel's proclamation to the shepherds about Jesus' birth, that love has come and is living among us as us, incarnate God, embodied Creator. The divine God who has led and walked with and loved the people from the very beginning in clouds and fire and visions is now revealed to us in the concrete and the ordinary. Touch me and see. And when even that wasn't enough, Jesus says, I'm hungry. Do you have anything to eat? And eats fish in their presence. Touch, sight, taste, smell. And then he opens their minds as they hear the words of Scripture reinterpreted for them by their beloved Messiah. In all ways, Jesus helps them to know that it is him, his self, flesh and blood, embodied. It is in these actions, this engagement then, that they find peace. That doesn't mean that they didn't doubt, didn't wonder, weren't terrified and feeling immense joy all at the same time. All of those things happened and will happen again as they witness to the things that they saw in Jesus. And it was okay for the disciples in the upper room to doubt. Everything they knew to be true about a physical body was now changed. Everything they knew about their God was now changed. So of course the disciples are like, wait, what? What's going on? And of course we too will have moments of doubt. It's part of who we are. Because the resurrection wasn't just so the disciples can know God's new world more clearly, but so that we too can know. This is the one we know through the stories and through our lived lives, the one who crossed the threshold between heaven and earth and became love among us, the one who showed us a way of living fully embodied, loving and caring all of creation. Through Jesus, we know that the body is a temple, a home to the divine within us, full of wisdom and insight. In the resurrection, God gives us another way of being, another way of understanding ourselves in the world. In the resurrection, God gives us life in the kingdom, both here on earth and with love the Creator. And sometimes that wisdom of our body is to bring up our doubts, to know in our gut that something isn't quite right, to allow us to say, wait, what? I need a moment to catch up. But friends, we are not meant to stay there in that doubt, to spiral, to spin our wheels. Instead, that doubt and those questions are an invitation to wonder and joy, into embodiment and seeing, hearing, knowing the reality of God's work in us and in this world. It's an invitation to be witnesses to these things, to the power of the resurrected Jesus in our lives. So what do? When we move away from our body homes, disconnected from the wisdom we hold within us, from our senses, that we trust our head more than our gut, that we miss the divine around us, what do when that happens? For people with anxiety or who have panic attacks, there's a simple exercise that allows them to return to their body and what is real rather than all the things that are spinning in their head that make their body feel so overwhelmed. It's called the 5-4-3-2-1 exercise. And I've been using it all week, and I gotta tell you, it works even in an everyday non-anxious moment. It works to ground me and take me out of my head and bring me back into my body. It's rather simple. You start out by taking a few long, deep breaths to kind of reattach you to your body. And then you acknowledge five things that you see around you, four things you can touch, three things that you hear, two things that you can smell, and one thing that you can taste. What I've found out this week is that doing this exercise each day engages my senses in a new way throughout the day. I see and hear things in a different way. I feel my body differently. And I think perhaps I'm more open to what the Spirit is up to, more willing to follow, more willing to see, more willing to be present for others, more willing to take the risk, more willing to allow her to change me, to help me grow. So today is the last day that we will hear post-resurrection story. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be turning our eyes toward the Pentecost story, that story when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples. So to help us remain open to the depth of love and width of welcome that we see in incarnated, resurrected Jesus in these next 5 weeks as we make our way to Pentecost, I am inviting you to engage the 5-4-3-2-1 practice each day and see what it does to your senses and your soul as you make the threshold between smaller and smaller. And as a visual reminder of our experiment to become witnesses to this incarnation, I ask you to take a picture of one or two of the things that you notice around you. We'll gather those photos and create a collage that'll remind us throughout the summer to celebrate the embodied resurrection with our whole selves, to live faith alive by welcoming all, building community, and serving our neighbor. As you leave today, you'll get a little half sheet that will explain everything to you. As we go on our way, as we get ready to come to this table to eat and to smell the body and blood of our Savior, I leave you with this blessing for the senses written by John O'Donohue. May your body be blessed. May you realize that your body is a faithful and beautiful friend of your soul. May you be peaceful and joyful and recognize that your senses are sacred thresholds. May you realize that holiness is mindful, gazing, feeling, hearing, and touching. May your senses gather you and bring you home. May your senses always enable you to celebrate the universe and the mystery and the possibilities in your presence here. May the love of the earth bless you. Amen.